So I want to talk to you a bit about some of the things that we're doing in UWP. You all have seen this diagram before. This is a representation of the types of things that you can do in UWP. You can target all these different devices from the same code, the same binaries, and actually the same actual applications. You saw earlier today, Giorgio had deployed the same exact application to Xbox, to IoT, to phone, as well as to the desktop. And really, that's the big promise of UWP. But as you'll also see later today, it's more than that. It's also our modern API for building applications. Now, you may wonder, how does that experience work? Like, when you're on all these different applications, do you have to have the same exact UI for each application? And the answer, of course, is no, right? One of the things that we did see today in the demo this morning is that the UI that was on the IoT device was a little different. You know, it had affordances for being able to have, hardware buttons and whatnot on there. The UI that we had for the Xbox was also different from the UI that we had for the phone. So even though it is exactly the same code, exactly the same application across all these different devices, we have affordances in there so you as developers have really kind of complete control over how that appears on each of those different devices. So how do we do that? It starts with what we built into the platform. So we have universal controls that work across all these devices, because of course that's really the most basic thing that we need there. And these universal controls are aware of the type of device that they're working on. So for example, controls when they're running on the Xbox have focus sounds, because when you're navigating around in the Xbox using a controller, you expect to be able to get that kind of little blip sound when you're moving from control to control. We also have to deal with things like DPI and effective pixels. Because when you're looking at your phone at like this distance versus what you're looking at, say, like on your television that's 10 feet away or even at your laptop, which is 2 feet away, the size of the pixels there really matter. The size of a touch point matters. So we've introduced this concept of effective pixels so that you get the same effective size of that object regardless of which device you're on. We also have a lot of things to make it easier for designers and developers to work together on this. So you can use adaptive layout and adaptive triggers to be able to, make your UI size appropriately, whether you're a portrait landscape, whether you have different size screens, different types of screens, et cetera. We've built all of those things in there to make it easier for you to do that. We also recommend when designers and developers are working on this that they look at not so much each specific device type, but these breakpoints in the resolution across all these different devices. Because really, the difference between, say, a large phone and a small tablet is really, like, you don't need to really know that those are separate devices so much as you just need to understand the resolution and the DPI available to you. And then, of course, we have tooling. So Visual Studio and Blend together make it possible for you to actually test the size of the of what you're actually designing and do it directly from inside the designer. So how many people here have been using Visual Studio 2015? So most people in here, great. So you've seen that when you're designing your application, if you're targeting phone or you want to see what it looks like on the desktop, all you have to do is write in the designer, you can say, I want to see what it looks like on a 23-inch monitor, or I want to see what it looks like on a 5-inch phone. And so we have all that built in there directly for you. Now, I didn't notice the number of hands earlier because it seemed kind of low, but how many people in here work in XAML? Okay, so more. So excellent. You have energy now after lunch. You're able to raise your hand. Awesome. Thank you very much. We've done a lot of work in XAML to make this all possible, right? Of course, for HTML developers, you have established patterns for doing all the things that we've been talking about. But in XAML, we've been building a lot of this up kind of from the ground up using all the best practices, not just from HTML, but from the community in general. And we put in a lot of new features in here as well. So, for example, some of the things that you can do with Xbox with the focus sounds, binding to functions that we're going to see here in a little bit, background audio, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to read everything here for you. But we have a bunch of new things in there that I think are really great. And what I wanted to do here is show you just a few of those. So some of the kind of candy that we've got coming in here for XAML. So this is machine 4. All right, figured out the switch box. That's my challenge for the day. I can retire now. So what I've got here is a project in Visual Studio. I'm going to run this. I'm just going to snap it side by side. So let me just take Visual Studio over here. And you see this is a really beautiful application. It's nice and blurry, and we'll explain that one later on. I am going to go over in here while the application is running, and I'm going to uncomment this little bit of markup right here. I'm going to do it the painful way. And if you look on the screen, did you see that little image appear up in the corner at runtime? Right? So what we've introduced in XAML, did some people not see that? All right, I think some people didn't notice that. Pay attention to the corner and watch this. Do you see that? Nobody saw that. Do you need glasses? Are you good? Okay. What we've introduced here in Visual Studio and XAML is XAML Edit and Continue. And this is a really big deal for us because now you don't have to go and keep running your application, stop it, run it again, try something out, stop it, run it again. You can edit your XAML in real time at runtime directly. Pretty cool, huh? All right. I love taking applause for showing a feature that other teams work so hard on. Now, the other thing that you may have noticed is, did you notice that the cloud is actually raining? It's an animated GIF, or GIF if you roll that way, that's now supported in XAML as well, right? So this is another big feature that folks have been asking for, right? Let me now take this and maximize the application here. And I want to go in and show you just a couple of other features that we have in here. So I'm going to just log in. See, this is a beautiful application here. And I'm going to go to the dashboard page, excuse me. Oh, actually, let me show one thing here. If you notice, when I hold down the Alt key for any of these, I get M, R, S, et cetera, the accelerator keys. Okay? This is another thing that we know is necessary for a lot of business applications that we just didn't have easy support for in the past. There were ways to do this, but you had to hook a lot of events to do it. So if I go back and look at this code here, go back to Contoso, and I'm just going to leave it running for the moment so I don't have to run it. And if I go back to the XAML, and scroll down just a little bit. You see the access keys here. So for each of those, we define what the access key is for that. And then we also define what events that we want to have fired off when those access keys are clicked on so that we know what kind of UI to show. And because it's XAML, we can show basically any kind of UI we want. We opted just to have a small box with that letter in it, but you can make it graphical if you would like. And now we do have to do a little bit of code to support this. So if you look in the background, in the code behind here, we have a setup tooltip function that goes and simply sets the placement of these tooltips relative to the actual elements. Again, you have complete control over where you want to put those. And then when the access key has been requested, and this is some of the plumbing that we've built in, all we do is we show that tooltip. And again, you could show this in a status bar. You could show it anywhere you want. We just provide the plumbing in there to kind of make that possible. Okay. Another very cool thing that we have introduced here is, let me pull it back up. If I go to this messages page, right? So watch very carefully what happens here when I'm typing. So if I type in a bunch of messages, and I just hit send a bunch of times and change it a little bit and hit send. Do you see what's happening here? It seems pretty basic. But those boxes automatically scrolling to show us the last item that has been added in there, right? This is another thing that was not the simplest thing to do in XAML in the past, and we wanted to make sure that this was really easy for you to do now. So the markup for that is actually quite simple. If I go back over here, if I go to my messages page, and it's really just this one thing. So inside the list view, all we have to do is set the items updating scroll mode to keeping the last item in view. Okay? Again, very, very simple in there, and it's something that's been requested from us a ton of times. So let me go and show one other thing in here, which I also think is extremely cool. Now, if you look at these reports, and take a look at the names of these reports, I think we went out to the, anybody ever used a corporate BS generator? It's a great way to generate random data for your applications. We have created a bunch of reports here. But see the amount here shows 5,000, and then it's formatted down here in US currency format, right? If I look at the other one, we have 2 million. Initially here we have 16,000, et cetera, right? Okay. So you think formatting not a big deal, right? But in XAML, anybody who's worked in XAML before knows that formatting some of this stuff is kind of a pain in the butt. But what we've done is if I go back over to this application, And if I look in the report one, there are two interesting things going on here. First, I'll show you one, we are binding to an element inside a dictionary, which that's a key thing for being able to get to data sets. But two, we are calling this get formatted text function, which exists in our code behind. And so we're actually binding directly to a function inside the code behind, which is returning the formatted data. Now, it doesn't have to be, there's the dictionary, excuse me. It doesn't have to be, a function that just does formatting. You can bind to anything that is a function in your code behind that's returning data that makes sense for that particular part of the application. So we've really expanded that out, because you notice we're using x colon bind versus just the old binding, approach, which means it's compiled, it's super fast, and we can call code in the code behind and get the return results from those functions and show them directly in the XAML. So again, very cool, very highly requested features inside these applications. So that's the cool stuff for XAML. Now we've done, like I said, a ton of stuff in there. I would encourage you to check it out. You can look in the latest version of Visual Studio, and actually some of this stuff even works in Visual Studio 2015 as well. The other thing I want to talk about here a little bit is Windows Ink. How many of you have ever built an application that uses the pen? Anybody? How many of you want to build an application that uses a pen? I would expect to see a lot more hands up than that. Yes? Okay. Windows Ink, you saw some of the demos with Shen and Giorgio earlier. Ink is a very natural and very important way and very easy way for people to get data into applications. You might not think of it, if you're building a rapid data entry application or you're building something for a call center or you're building something kind of internal, you might think, well, Ink doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me there. But if you're building something for people that go out into the field, right? Or if you're building something for, say, an assessor or something like that that needs to go out to a site, go out to an auto accident, go out to any of these different places where they have a tablet in their hand, Ink is often the most convenient way for them to enter data. And we continue to iterate on this because we think this is one of the things that we do really well and something that adds a lot of value to your applications. We've provided a number of different ways that you can get Ink in your application. It starts with the simplest stuff. You can simply add in an Ink canvas and an Ink toolbar. If you want to get a little bit more complicated, a little bit more control, you can use the Ink presenter. And then if you want to have ultimate control and being able to handle the Ink any way that you want, we have some advanced processing in there where you can use the APIs directly. If you use our built-in controls, it handles a lot of stuff like simultaneous pen and touch, which is a really nice new feature that we have in there automatically. You don't have to think about that. You don't have to worry about, you know, ignoring the palm, ignoring the fingers or whatever, because we treat Ink and we treat touch quite differently, and we make that available to you. So let me quickly show you all the code that it takes to get this in your XAML applications. So I'm going to stop that and go, no, I don't want to save that. Go into here. I'm just going to create a new project. My file new project is far simpler than Shen's file new project, by the way, which also means it'll work. All right. I say that. That's when the machine usually crashes. All right. So I pull it up. I'm going to open the main page for the application here. Main page. Now, how many lines of markup do you think it takes to add Ink to your application? It's a quiz. There's no prize for this one. No? All right. Ink canvas. I can give it a name. X colon name. You guys are just going to let me do that. Ink canvas. OK. That's all I need for a canvas. But I want to get a little bit more stuff in there, so I can say Ink toolbar. Horizontal alignment is right, vertical alignment is top, right? All typical XAML stuff. And then I'm going to say the target canvas for that is xbind ink canvas. Okay? This is everything that I need, well, short of a closing part there. Oh, yeah. Don't mind the squigglies, that's pre-release stuff. This is everything that I need to be able to support Ink in this application. I have a pen, which is very helpful for an Ink demo. as soon as this comes up. Let me maximize this. And so you see, I've got the ink toolbar up on the right, and the ink canvas in the middle. We have all the stuff we'd expect to have. I can change, you know, the different types of pens. You see, I get pressure on here automatically for me. I get all that data from that. And then I get the ruler. Remember the ruler today? That's just built right in there. Don't have to do anything special to support that. And I can't draw a straight line to save my life, so this is really helping me out. I'm going to color here if you guys don't mind. Is that all right? All right, cool. So that's all it takes to add inked into your application. Thank you. All right, I get applause for two lines of markup. This is awesome. Usually I do IoT demos and I blink an LED and everybody's like, blinked an LED, awesome. So great. So we have built into the platform a bunch of different things for you that are really going to make, I think, your life easier when you're working, when you're trying to build like these really good user experiences across all these different devices. First of all, UWP, I don't want to, you know, understate the value of being able to write a single application and have it run across all of these devices without any required code changes. So again, being able to compile your application and run it on the phone, run it on an IoT device, run it on the Xbox, run it on the desktop without any required changes is a really big deal. And then being able to use some of the things that we built in, the controls that automatically adapt, the ability to have separate XAML pages. We didn't really talk about this today, but you can have separate XAML pages that share the same code behind, but each XAML page can target a different device family. So being able to have that level of control in the application, plus all the adaptive stuff we've built in, really makes it much easier for you to target all these devices with a very minimal amount of effort. Then we've added a bunch of new things in XAML. Of course, we've done a lot with Windows Ink in XAML as well, but we've added in binding to dictionaries, which if you ever work with data, anybody here ever work with data? It's usually a pretty big deal. Okay, more than a couple people. If you want to do any formatting or any special processing, being able to bind the functions in your code behind, also a really big part of the new enhancements that we have there. And again, we have tons of stuff there. There's more information online on the Channel 9 site from build itself. And if you go to dev.windows.com, you'll find all the other information there with like all the new features that we have in Windows 10. So thank you.